Good morning and welcome to CrossLink Radio. This is Shirley Gutkowski, your host of CrossLink Radio, where we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. Yes, I said it. We talk about health from the eye teeth. Does everybody even remember eye teeth? We had eye teeth and stomach teeth, and I remember what the eye teeth were, but I don't know the stomach teeth. So there you have it. Welcome to today's episode of The Sugar Show. We didn't have a sugar show last week. Sorry about that. But today I have a kind of a packed full sugar show. And I know I mentioned at one point, and maybe it bears repeating, that I have a subscription to two kind of food-related newsletters. And they're pretty intensive. And they're industry newsletters. So it's not a newsletter like that comes from the company that makes whatever. This is news. And today's episode centers around some articles that I accumulated from foodnavigator-usa.com. I'm pretty sure anybody can be a member of this newsletter. And it seems to be pretty comprehensive. They cover all kinds of food items and all kinds of food-related topics from the industry side. They highlight companies that have developed new flavors, news that so-and-so bought such-and-such, or that XYZ company is coming out with a new flavor of their whatever-all cookies. So it's pretty comprehensive about the entire food industry. And a lot of the news in here is for global companies. But the thing that caught my eye today, or for today's show, was a news article on Nectresa, or Nectress, or Nec, well, I don't know, N-E-C-T-R-E-S-S-E. And this is a sweetener that was developed by Johnson & Johnson. And their claim for this Nectress is that the sugar that was in the box was monk fruit based. Now, Johnson & Johnson has taken this off the market because it wasn't selling. I don't know that I would buy something called monk fruit. I don't know about you guys, but I have seen monk fruit sweeteners at health food stores and at the grocery store. And to tell you the truth, I'm not interested in something called monk fruit. I've never seen a monk fruit. If you are accessing this podcast through the website, you'll see a picture of monk fruit. They look kind of like grapes and gooseberries crossed. It's hard to tell from the picture if they're bigger than a grape. They kind of almost look the size of a kiwi, but I really just don't know. So anyway, it wasn't very appealing to me, but that's neither here nor there. So that captured my attention was this lawsuit. And as I was reading the article, they mentioned a couple of other lawsuits on the same kind of issue in the sweetener world. So here's the thing. What's been happening is everybody's off of sugar, right? Everybody's looking for sugar substitutes. Nobody wants to have formaldehyde from whatever intense sweeteners floating around in their blood. So people are looking for natural alternatives. Xylitol is a natural alternative, but it has some kind of negative consequences that make it hard for people who are doing purchasing to include xylitol as part of the natural sweetener bunch, because it acts like a fiber when it gets into your gut. And so you have some gurgling and you may have loose stools. And some people, if they, you know, make an entire 2-quart pitcher of iced tea and then add a half a cup or a cup of the xylitol to that pitcher and they drink the whole thing, they are not going to be happy. They will be in the bathroom for a long time. Their oral bacteria and their gut bacteria will be very happy, but the host himself or herself will not be happy and they won't be purchasing it again. So that's the problem with xylitol. Now, the next best thing, or the next most common thing, I'm sure you've all heard about it, is stevia. Stevia comes from the leaf of a stevia XYZ plant, and there are a couple of different ways to get the stevia out of the plant. There's the natural squeeze it out kind of a way. It's probably pretty expensive, if you can imagine squeezing a stevia leaf and getting the juice out of it. And then there's this other kind of a, well, it's kind of a holistic manufacturing practice, and it is also a similar practice to the way they get xylitol and they get erythritol. So I went back and followed up on the lead from the Nutressa article and found that there was a settlement in the stevia deceptive marketing lawsuit alleging that Trevia is not natural. So the makers of Trevia lost this lawsuit, and they have to pay $6.1 million because of deceptive advertising. I think you may have heard me complain about this in the past. It's the package says Trevia. It has a little leaf over the eye for Trevia. It's a very nice, bright word, but there's almost no stevia in it. It's almost all erythritol. And so they just add enough stevia in there so that they can say that it's got stevia in it. So that is problematic from my perspective and from perspective of, as a consumer, at a trade show where they were handing out Trevia, and I acted nice and stupid and I said, wow, really? Is this like a net, like sucralose or the one that starts with an N that I can't think of right now in the little blue package? And she said, no, this is stevia. This is stevia. And I looked at the back in front of her and I said, huh, it looks like it's only barely stevia. So stevia is an intense sweetener and erythritol is a bulk sweetener. And if you remember from my conversations with Dr. Peldiak, you can search for Peldiak in my archives. We talked about the difference between intense and bulk sweeteners. And intense sweeteners, you may only need two tiny little grains, but they don't travel well. So they mix it together with a bulk sweetener that also has no calories. So it's easier to use the stevia. And you can also get some benefit or some sweetness anyway from the less sweet sweetener, bulk sweetener, like erythritol. If you remember back from our erythritol discussion, erythritol is 40% as sweet as sugar. And stevia, I don't even know. We'll be talking about stevia in the weeks coming up, but it's more sweet than sugar. So mix the two together, and now you have something great, and everybody has a good warm feeling about stevia. So they call it Trevia. Erythritol sounds like a bunch of red blood cells to me, and so I'm sure it does to others as well. So based on all of that, the company that makes Trevia was sued, and they lost, and they have to pay $6.1 million and awards attorney's fees and costs up to another $1.8 million. This is all written up here in the newsletter called Food... What is it called? Food Navigator-USA. All right, so that's pretty interesting because that was something that was irritating to me, that they made it out to be like it was stevia. Erythritol is still a natural sweetener. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything bad about erythritol. But the way that it was presented made people think it was more natural or they were getting something different than what they were actually purchasing. One of the problems is that I'm not sure where the money's going. It's not a class action suit. They were not able to bring a class action suit. but there was nobody was harmed. So there's no payout to anyone. So that's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. So they have to change the label, and they have to put a little asterisk, and they have to make a little comment about the erythritol and how it was achieved, how it got to be erythritol. So that's interesting. But one other thing that came to my attention as I was reading this article is that there's another sugar, another sweetener that makes itself sound as if it was from stevia. It's called Purevia, stevia-based sweetener. They were also sued. They also lost their suit. They also have to pay, but they only have to pay $1.6 million. And they also have to have packaging rehab. Other settlements in the food industry are kind of crazy when you think about all of this stuff, for deceptive advertising. And the Dreamfields pasta lost and almost have to pay almost $8 million. Kashi's, $5 million. Trader Joe's, $3.3 million. ConAgra, $3 million, Barbara's Bakery, $4 million, and Red Bull, $13 million for deceptive advertising. So, you know, there are cops out there, and people are having their feet held to the fire. The people who made Trevia are happy-ish about it. But that's, I don't know how you can be happy when you lose $6 million. You have to swap out all of your packaging. And so be aware that that kind of thing is coming. But this is the thing that kind of tripped my interest trigger here. And the advertising on this Nectresa, or Nectrice, or however you say it, is that once you really know how it's made, according to the plaintiff, the person who's doing the suing, it says they say that no reasonable consumer would consider Nectrice to be a natural product, that the main ingredient in it is erythritol, which is a zero-calorie bulk sweetener, and while erythritol is found naturally in fruits and vegetables, it's typically produced commercially via extracting starch from corn, converting the starch to glucose, via enzymatic hydrolysis, fermenting the glucose using yeast, and then sterilizing and filtering and purifying the fermented broth to produce erythritol crystals. Now, when we talked to Peter to talk about how erythritol was made, he kind of said that along these same lines. I think he told us that it was a lot more natural than the way that it was described here. So maybe this plaintiff has it wrong, but this process is, according, this is the quote now from the plaintiff, this process is not the same process that's used in nature to produce erythritol that's found in vegetables and fruit. McNeil's representation that erythritol is a natural sweetener produced by natural process and that is found in many vegetables and fruits is misleading. In short, Nectrice is not made primarily from the monk fruit plant. It is predominantly made of erythritol and contains only a minute quality of monk fruit-derived Mangu-V, which is not natural crude monk fruit. The erythritol is used is not natural. It is synthetic, and that monk fruit-derived Mangu-V is harshly purified through chemical processes. As a result, no reasonable consumer would consider Nectrice to be a natural product. So that is the lawsuit basis of this Nectrice. The package makes it look like it's from nectar. So that's a little bit crazy too. You know, it's advertising, and you want to put your product under the best light. Think of cigarette ads, and you want to sell your product, right? It's good. It's not bad for you. But these companies are being sued based on they're trying to be natural. So the director of communications at Johnson & Johnson Consumer Group that said that the company couldn't comment on the litigation, but confirmed that Nectrice had discontinued their product, or that it was discontinued last year because it did not meet business expectations. So this story was published June 19th, so that's pretty current. The article on Trivia is from December of 14. So let's find out about monk fruit, because apparently this is the new and upcoming sugar. There's a company called In the Raw, and they make a product called Sugar in the Raw, and they have this in the raw and that in the raw. They're all a different line of sweeteners, and they also have a monk fruit in the raw. So that was my introduction into monk fruit as a sweetener. So aside from seeing it in the packages at the store, which I probably saw the Nutressa one, or whatever, however you pronounce it. So what this article here then is, this is from earlier this month, June of 2015 also, and they talk about this Monk Fruit Corporation doubles their capacity as more U.S. firms add monk fruit to sugar reduction toolkit. So the story is that sugar elimination, I think everyone, it sounds like they're in agreement that it's impossible. You can't just take sugar out of stuff. So they're looking for ways to replace the sugar. And monk fruit may be one of those ways. And you can see by this picture, it's a nice little round green ball. And apparently there's a lot of sweetener in there. Now I'm reading here from this article. Monk Fruit Corp has contracts with growers to produce at least twice as much fruit as its nearest competitor this year. A natural sweetener that is 150 to 200 times sweeter than sugar. And it's gaining traction as manufacturers come under increasing pressure to reduce sugar and keep labels clean. So it's an intense sweetener, right? Because it's much more sweet than regular sugar. They find that this article is reporting that monk fruit sweetener is now in everything from the Simply 100 Chobani yogurt, Starbucks double shot coffee and protein, and Skinny Cow, Arctic Zero, Zevia, and Califria Farms. So it's turning up in a lot of different places, so you'll be seeing it. I haven't been able to discern from this article whether they give it a special secret name or not. I think they're just going to call it monk fruit and hope that people think it sounds natural. I don't know. that's kind of crazy. There's also a lot of activity in dairy, protein-based dairy vegetables, dairy beverages, nut milks, and baked goods. So aside from where it's already in, it looks like they're looking to put it in many more places. In the short to medium term, U.S. represents the biggest market opportunity for monk fruit right now. So that's pretty awesome. Longer term, in Europe, Latin America, and China represent big growth opportunities, although much will depend on how quickly regulatory approvals can be secured. Of course. So look for monk fruit as an intense sweetener. So because it's an intense sweetener, it's always going to be mixed with something else. And although that's not good for your, or it's not bad for your teeth, it may not be good for your teeth. So we're going to be keeping our eye on all of this stuff as well. Now here's one more article about another product. This isn't a sugar. This is a product that makes it sound as if it's using a lot of stevia.
If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio.
It's called Zevia. Z-E-V-I-A. Zevia. It's a soft drink. A zero-calorie carbonated beverage sweetened with stevia, monk fruit, and erythritol. So it's two high-intensity sweeteners and a bulk sweetener. Okay, so now we're finding that we have another player in the soft drink category that is trying to get on board with this stevia thing. And they're making some serious headways in here. Where did I mark down how much money they're making? They're making a lot, and their business is growing. As a matter of fact, last year on Amazon, it grew over 50%, which it has been doing for the last couple of years, which is a pure organic demand for the brand. So look for that. So I have to say, though, here we go. Stock nationwide in chains from Kroger to Safeway, Target, HEB, Whole Foods, and Meijer. Zevia is also performing strongly on Amazon. All right, so it's got those couple of things, and then we have to start wondering about the definitions and the distinction between tooth-friendly, okay, which it sounds like this Zevia may be tooth-friendly, although with erythritol in there, and there's no saying how much erythritol is in there, it may also be good for your teeth. It may have a benefit against the oral bacteria, and as we learned, reducing inflammation in the body, which can increase elasticity in the cardiovascular system. So yahoo for that, right? So there may be a soda that we can start to recommend. In the past, I've often recommended root beer, because that seems to dissolve the rest of the, dissolve the enamel the least out of all of the sodas, because it has no citric acid. I'm looking for ingredients here in this article. I don't see that they really looked there. Okay. They're primarily focused on beverages, and they've just moved into tonic water, as there are no naturally sweetened zero calorie products there. But they're also looking at tea, energy, and sparkling water, and they are itching to get into that market with their, with their soft drink that contains those three ingredients, those three sugars. And then that brings me around to this new Coke that I saw at the grocery store called Coke Life. And so I looked that up today. According to the little end cap there at the grocery store, it has stevia in it. Of course, that's the only thing that they're going to say. So it has fewer calories than no calories, okay? So it has fewer calories. Sorry, I said that wrong too. It has fewer calories than regular soda, but it is not zero calorie, this Coke Life. The Coke Life has 28 milligrams of caffeine, in case you wanted to know that. It has 90 calories instead of 140. And so I was looking at this going, well, where are all the calories coming from? Well, it turns out they just cut back on the regular cane sugar, and they are adding stevia to make up the difference. So it still has regular sugar in it. And then I noticed that Pepsi also has a natural soft drink that they're coming out with, or they just did, and it is either called Pepsi Natural or Pepsi Raw. They're two separate entities. It was hard for me to decide or decipher which one was where between the United Kingdom and here in the States. So one is here and one is there. I have not seen it in any stores around here. Not that I'm running around in the soda aisles, but I've not seen it. And it's kind of interesting in that Pepsi Natural is sweetened with cane and beet sugar. So cane sugar and beet sugar. And Pepsi Raw uses apple juice, cane sugar, and beet sugar to sweeten it. So, wow, these companies really want our money, and they're trying to give us what we want. We're trying to offer us beverages that we can buy from them that will be accessible to our palates and and give us what we're used to. So, I don't know, it's still kind of crazy. So we have sugars, we have beverages that are going to be less nasty in the sugar department, But these two especially, because I was looking up their ingredients, specifically Coke Life and Pepsi Natural and or Pepsi Raw, still have three acids. They have citric acid, they have malic acid, and they have, the T1, I didn't write it down. So they have three separate acids in there. Citric acid is the one that's going to melt your teeth the most. So if you're going to choose to drink a soft drink, and if you're going to choose to drink any soft drink with or without sugar, those soft drinks have acids in them that are not really part of the pH profile. Because some sugars break down enamel, or some acids break enamel down faster and more efficiently than other acids. And citric acid happens to be the one that does the most damage the most efficiently. So in order to drink soda, everybody, if you are in the soda drinking mind frame, you should drink soda with a straw. You should drink your whole can of soda within a half an hour or with meals. And you should take a long break between that can and the next can or bottle. You need your at least 20 minutes, if you have good salivary flow, to buffer the acids that were created and to drive more minerals into your enamel so that you can avoid a cavity. So those are the kinds of things that you need to know. That's practical information. So hygienists, if you are listening to this, make sure that you let your patients know how to drink soda, because they're not going to not drink it. And we do have better options. We have options that include monk fruit and erythritol. I don't know that we're going to see xylitol, but we will see other sweeteners, even as I mentioned, apple juice and and beet sugar. So there we have it, another episode of The Sugar Show on Crosslink Radio. I am Shirley Gutkowski, your hostess to this episode and to the whole of the Crosslink Radio website. Please take a minute out and subscribe to the website. That really, really helps me out. It lets me know who you are and how best to reach you. And it also allows me an opportunity to see what kind of an impact I'm making. So, and also feel free to share. Share from Stitchers, share from the website, either one, it doesn't matter. There's a little glitch with the iTunes at this point. I'm not sure what's happening, but somebody told me that they were looking into it. That's 2 weeks ago. So, so hopefully we'll get that all ironed out. And also, I'd like to remind you that my guided mastermind is going to be exactly about these kinds of pieces of news and how to incorporate them into your dental hygiene practice so that your whole practice will be better off, so that you as a dental hygienist or you as a dentist can access more information and put it to use right away in your practice so that your patients are healthier and the practice bottom line is also healthier. So have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, and we will bring you another episode of The Sugar Show next week, Wednesday. So make sure you stop back over and take a look and take a listen. Have a great rest of the day.